Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 K-Frog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. With the wildfires that have brought so much devastation to our neighbors in Los Angeles, we see just how crucial it is to be prepared and for first responders to have every tool they need to be able to handle disasters. But one group who may not be getting any resources at all is mothers. Melissa Saleh, a former attorney and journalist turned entrepreneur, was evacuated to a hotel and found herself realizing just how much mothers go through during times of disaster without any resources or even public awareness. She's on the line to amplify the conversation about the lack of resources first responders and victims receive, especially women who still carry the majority burden of taking care of their families and children. Thank you for joining me, Melissa.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for highlighting this issue.
And thank you for taking the time to do this at a time when I'm sure your stress level has just been unimaginable.
Well, thank you. I should say that I am extremely fortunate. My family and I live just south of where the fires occurred. We did evacuate as a precaution, but our home, our neighborhood, our office, and our school are all safe and intact. But as you mentioned, I did get a first row seat to what is happening for so many mothers, particularly mothers of young children who have lost homes, schools, places of worship, daycares, all of the infrastructure that goes into really maintaining a life while you are building a family in this country.
Tell us about the unique challenges mothers face in a disaster situation. Why is their load so much heavier?
Well, I think the key word that you just used is load. When you are a mother or a parent in this country right now, particularly if you are two income, if you are a single parent, you are already carrying a very heavy load. You are carrying the costs of childcare, which are astronomical in this country. You are carrying a lack of governmentally required parental leave. You are carrying burdens from the workplace that often restrict or even penalize you for having children. But still, you manage to figure it out somehow, and you manage to create stability and infrastructure and some financial base for your young family. And that requires other people, and it requires other resources. So you need to, let's say you're working outside the home, you need to have your source of childcare, which is often daycare, or perhaps it's a nanny, or you have a school nearby, you have preschool, you have activities for your child. You have created this infrastructure and this schedule that you rely on in order to have the freedom to do your job, to do your work. You also have the well-being, the mental, emotional, and physical health of your children as your responsibility. You have a life infrastructure. You have their supplies, their room, their method of transportation. Perhaps you have a certain vehicle that has all your car seats. You may have required medications for your child. Your child may have special needs. Your life is already this kind of tightly wound infrastructure, and then the entire thing one day is wiped out. What do you do? How do you maintain, number one, the core physical, emotional, and mental health of your children? You have to physically get them out of the evacuation zone. Perhaps they were at a school in the Palisades or a school in Altadena. Perhaps they were at home or they were at a park. So you have to get them out. Then there's the matter of, okay, they need a diaper change, or they need their favorite stuffy in order to go to bed at night. They need medications. They need certain foods. Anybody who is caring for young children understands that there's a lot of stuff. There's simply a lot of support that you get from your environment and from objects. A core part of raising healthy children is providing constancy and routine and familiarity. Well, that is now gone. It is gone, and you have absolutely no idea when it will come back. So, okay, you deal with the pure survival of getting your family out. Then you are dealing with the unbelievable stress of not knowing, do I still have a home? Do my children still have a school? Do I still have an office? Do I still have any of the local places that my child is used to going, seeing? How will I rebuild this? Also, if you have a job, you need to maintain your employment or else potentially face financial ruin. So, okay, what's your childcare situation? Like, you're displaced. Who's going to look after your kids? What if you have a job that requires you to still be checking in at work? The problems that you have just become exponential and existential. How do you maintain your family's life and just the basic logistics of living? And mothers and fathers, but primarily mothers, are the ones who are facing these just astronomical challenges. And they're facing them not alone. Obviously, first responders did an unbelievable job of getting people out safely. They were extraordinary. But still, the mothers are the ones who then have to put all the pieces together. Then there's weeks, months, years afterwards where your children are asking, Mommy, why can't I go home? Mommy, where's my school? What happened to all my friends? I miss my bed. Why don't I have any clothes? How do you tell a three-year-old, no, we cannot go back to your room for your favorite toy? It is gone. You will never see it again. There is an enormous emotional toll that mothers are carrying, and the lack of focus on their specific struggles is pretty stark.
What steps can policymakers and organizations take to ensure that the unique burdens on moms during emergencies are part of disaster preparedness and recovery planning?
Well, that's an excellent question. And I think there's going to need to be a lot of discussion after this disaster as far as what is the government's responsibility on a federal, state, local level? What can we do to make parenting in this country less of a blood sport, particularly when natural disasters like this happen and are happening with greater frequency, whether it be hurricanes, droughts, cyclones, wildfires, earthquakes? We are seeing an uptick in these types of natural disasters. It's not just California. It's not just Florida. I was there at Hurricane Sandy. I saw New Orleans after Katrina. These kinds of incidents are not going away. At the same time, we have a growing discussion about the American parenting crisis, because it is becoming, even in the absence of natural disasters, so unbelievably expensive to the point of financially prohibitive to have children in this country. So this is not a fringe issue or the mom's issue. This is actually germane to the future of this country. If you want Americans in 20 to 30 years you need to support parents in creating the next generation of this country. And if we want Americans who were not subjected to immense trauma in childhood because they went through a natural disaster with no support, then we should offer some support to parents when they are going through something like this.
How does the added workload and trauma you've described impact mothers' mental health and their ability to recover after a disaster?
Well, mothers are already carrying an absolutely enormous load. The mental health of mothers is already a very large topic in this country, as well it should be, because what is the number one indicator of good mental health for a child? The mental health of the mother or primary caregiver. And I just, in our previous discussion, I ran through a few of the items on the laundry list of stresses on mothers and parents in this country. Mothers are already carrying an enormous stress load. So, okay, you put them in the center of a potentially life-threatening natural disaster that then causes ruin to their entire community. I mean, how would you handle that? How would I? It is astronomical stress. And then there's the factor of potential financial ruin when you look at insurance companies and the amount of underinsurance happening in California, and then the amount of insurance-related hassles. Most people will not recover the full value of what they lost. They will not recover the full value of their home, their car, the innumerable other things that they have lost. How do you come back from that financially? We are putting all of these questions and these burdens into the hands of parents. And these parents are already overburdened. They are already trying to raise healthy, well-adjusted, well-educated children in a society that's not making it easy.
Does our country and culture allow us to heal from trauma in general? And what about in the workforce?
Well, I think that's an excellent question that I hope will be changing in the coming years. I think our national awareness of how much impact trauma has on every single member of our country and our sort of national health as a whole is rising. When we have greater mental health, we have far less crime. We have far less domestic violence, far less child abuse, far less incarceration. Good mental health equals higher GDP. It equals lower healthcare costs. Good mental health is the foundation of a strong and vibrant country and a strong and vibrant society. So if we are not talking about trauma, we are setting ourselves up for serious issues and national decline. Our conversation about trauma in American culture has in the past been very stunted. There's been this sort of stiff upper lip culture of like, oh, bad things happen, but get over it and move on. Show your resilience, show your grit. That's the sort of Horatio Alger stick-to-itiveness and overcome obstacles. And we love to dramatize, oh, this person is so tough that they can go through this horrible thing and just brush it off. Well, that's just not realistic. You could be the toughest person in the world. You're still going to be traumatized by your family nearly dying in a fire and then your entire community being destroyed in a matter of hours. I don't care if you're the toughest person in the world. That is going to impact you very much. So it is time for our culture to acknowledge trauma and to acknowledge that it happens to everyone. It does not make you weak. It does not make you less than. It is not a masculine or feminine thing. It is trauma is does not care what gender you are. It does not care what political affiliation you are. It will come for you either way. And in the workforce, look, we have based our corporate workforce on the sort of industrial revolution model where there's management and then there are workers. And workers get up every day and they go to the assembly line. And the expectation is you leave your life at home and you come to work and you become a sort of cog in the wheel and you do what the company requires, at least in the corporate world and often in blue-collar jobs as well. That is just not conducive to the realities of human life, and particularly the realities of human life in today's world. Human lives are messy. They involve loss. They involve trauma. They involve unexpected events. They involve turbulence. And the workforce, look, we are in the middle of an AI revolution, but we have not yet replaced workers with AI for the most part. So our labor force still relies on labor, on human labor. So it is time for the workforce to acknowledge that if you are going to run on human labor, human lives are messy, and sometimes humans go through trauma. And when they do, we need to have better policies and better understanding within the workforce for things like natural disaster leave, greater bereavement leave policies, greater assistance to families. It is time to update the modern workforce. That's simply a reality.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can we discuss how parents, and mothers in particular, are their family's first responders during times of crisis? We touch on the disparity parents experience. What are some of the other ways our society is still unequal for parents?
Well, the financial burden on parents is enormous. I mentioned the lack of mandated parental leave, health care costs. You know, I think we all know, whether you have children or not, I think you're very aware of how astronomical healthcare costs can be in this country. And then there's the incredible cost of childcare. So young families are basically paying an enormous amount of their take-home pay simply to ensure that their child is safe during while they are at work. If you do not have children, you do not have those financial responsibilities. It is extremely unequal. That's not to say that everything is easy for people who are not parenting, but for parents in particular, these are children. These are future adults in our society. If we are not supporting the people who are supporting them, what message are we sending for our view on the future of this country? Like, children are being shuffled around in a time of crisis with no real sense of stability in the middle of one of the greatest natural disasters ever seen. How is that going to impact them in 5 years, 10 years, et cetera? And the parents are the ones carrying the deepest burden for their children's mental health, for how their children come out of this. The parents are the ones who are focusing on, oh, hey, my kid's school burned down. What do I do? I think that that's something that we could help parents out with a bit more. I think that, I mean, the public school system in LA, I think, has done a good job of rerouting students to other schools. But now those public schools are going to be absolutely taxed to the max because they did not necessarily have the capacity for those additional students. So what are these families supposed to do? And who is there to advise them and make plans for them and guide them?
I've been speaking with Melissa Salle, a former attorney and journalist turned entrepreneur who was evacuated from her home during the LA wildfires. And during that time, realized just how much of a lack of resources there are for mothers in these situations. Any last thoughts for us, Melissa?
Well, I think that the city of Los Angeles is unbelievably resilient, and I have seen unbelievably extraordinary acts of courage and kindness and generosity. And I have seen parents rise to the occasion and transcend and become phoenix rising from the ashes for the sake of their children. And I applaud the first responders. I applaud all of the people in this community that are racing to help others. And I applaud every parent out there who is holding it together by a thread for the sake of their children. We are with you. We are thinking of you. And you are not alone.
Our hearts go out to those who did lose their homes in this disaster. Melissa, we are so grateful that your home was spared. Thank you so much for speaking with us today and amplifying these issues.
Thank you for having me.